BNS at 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Friday, December 1st, 2017. I'm Beckler. Shauna is away snowboarding with her boyfriend in Fernie. You will still hear her voice briefly on the podcast today because we played some calls that we got yesterday that were just too funny not to play when we ran out of time. Before we jump into this, though, I want to thank you very much for listening to this podcast, because Sean and I have talked about having a podcast since our radio show started almost 3 years ago, back when we were doing the afternoon show at X92.9 here. And it took forever for things to finally come to fruition, but now it has. We are 60-some episodes in, and it's so cool to go into the back end of our podcast and like see how many people are downloading each episode. So thank you very much for your support. Thank you to Chris McCloy, who produces this. If you felt like telling a friend, if you enjoy this podcast, we would appreciate it. And you can still leave reviews on iTunes. We will still read your reviews on the podcast. All right, here we go. I think today is the first day that a lot of people start putting up their Christmas decorations or turning their Christmas lights on, because it's December 1st. We are officially in the Christmas season now, especially if you're one of those people that think Christmas starts too early going back into November. Well, now it's official. We've had our stuff up at home since November 15th because my wife loves Christmas. And if there's one thing that I have learned as an adult, I'm 28, I'm married now, it's that women are judging the out of each other's Christmas decoration spreads. I see the Snapchats McKenna gets, and it's all the women that she knows taking the perfect photos with just the right lighting of how they've decorated for Christmas. And McKenna has this table, and she's got all these Christmas, I guess you'd call them knickknacks. There's like a white deer head and some white looking Christmas trees on there. And she's arranged this table so many different ways, so many times, just to get everything just perfect. I don't even think we're having anybody over between now and Christmas. But in case somebody were to drop in, she's going to be judged on her presentation of Christmas, and she needs to make sure that she has her affairs in order. And it's not really like that for men. We're just like, hey, cool, Christmas, and we just move along. My idea to put multicolored lights on the tree shot down immediately, because it's not classy. They have to be white. And the theme this year is silver. So the tree has a theme. And my garble of Christmas lights and the ornaments that I think are interesting would not fit with that theme. So that was roundly rejected. One of my Twitter followers said that she calls it competitive homemaking. And she always comes in last.
We've got, I think, 5 or 6 Christmas trees in my house now.
Holy crap.
There's the big one, of course, the main tree, and then each of the kids has their own tree. Then there's the trees that the wife puts out front. I mean, it just, dude, for you, got 3 kids, been married for a long time, it just gets bigger.
Wow.
It's like an expanding beast that will slowly consume your house.
Eventually, you're just going to live in a forest.
It's starting to seem that way.
So, does she just add more stuff every year?
If they had a Michael's credit card that I would get for her, she would be the happiest girl in the world.
Well, I like Christmas, so I like that my wife decorates. I like that she takes the time. But you know, does your wife do the themes on the trees and everything too?
Oh yeah, it's great. I love Christmas as well, and you should see my front yard, man. I go full on Clark Griswold. So
yeah, man. Oh, I love when people put up a ton of lights outside too. Like, I don't have the money or time to do it right now, so I really appreciate when guys like you do it.
Oh, right on, man. Well, what's nice is in my neighborhood it catches on too, and we're starting to get more clusters of people doing it. So it's good everywhere, man.
What part of town are you in?
Up in the northeast in Saddle Ridge.
Yeah, so you probably got lots of young families running around up there, and that's who the decorations are for, right? They're for the kids. Although, losing square footage in your house, losing floor space to Christmas trees, I could see that becoming a bit of a problem. Kind of a millennial problem, actually, too. I know a few young people who, they don't have kids yet. I don't know if they plan to or not. They didn't ask. It's not my business. But they've kind of gone nuts with the house plants. Do you know anybody like this? It's like you can't see the walls or anything. It's just house plants in there. And, it's kind of cool, though, I guess, like, living in a forest. Feels like you're outside. Feels like you're in Lothlorien, the elven realm. Like, you and your wife could be Celeborn and Galadriel.
X92.9.
If you caught the program yesterday, Shauna told us that 95% of men don't use the flap at the front of their underwear, basically ever. And she was wondering, why is it even there in the first place? Well, we enlisted a crack team of expert listeners to try to get to the bottom of this.
I'm thinking it has something to do with wearing a suit.
That, a few people have said that, yeah, because once you're all tucked in and straight and everything, it's tough to mess all that up, right?
Yeah, there's like 10 buttons, a hook, and like then the zipper.
Right, right.
But if that's the case, then why would all the underwear that guys wear now, like Saks, not have that hole?
Because...
great question.
Right? Like maybe it's just because guys wear, as a whole, guys wear less suits than they did way back when, obviously,
right.
When, like, you had to wear a suit.
That's what I was going to say, because they were invented in, like, the 60s or something.
Yeah.
When everybody was wearing suits, right?
Yeah, where you had to wear a suit if you were in public, basically. Yeah, okay.
So I think that hole might be a holdover from, like, formal dressing. So when you tuck your shirt in, you got your fancy pants all done up, the last thing you want to do is move that line of elastic.
Right,
but that's
right.
Why there's
right?
holes in dress pants, right? Because there's those holes in the dress pants to adjust your shirt down in the pockets.
And to play pocket pool, obviously. But.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, certain dress pants will have holes in the bottom of the pocket, like little holes for your finger, so you can pull your shirt down without having to like...
Oh, I thought my dress pants were broken.
Oh my God. We're learning so much today.
Because like my lighter falls through it.
Right.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, but nobody uses that thing.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I was just curious, you know?
Yeah, it's difficult and awkward. It's like a tunnel, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, on Downton Abbey, on the Abbey, which I watch a lot of, and they get all dressed up, like they have somebody help them get dressed because it's so complicated, so I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Maybe they have a servant that helps them go to the washroom, too.
Maybe, some guy who's hired just to pull your bird out of your gitch, so...
Yeah.
Well, that would be lovely. You don't have to do anything.
It's like, don't tell my parents what I do for
Shake
work.
Shake it off.
Right.
What's your name?
So when you're wearing dress pants and you got a belt on and all that good stuff, you always got a zipper in the front, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't have to actually undo the belt or the button. You just unzip it and whip it out and do the thing.
Right, and then you're all untucked. And I mean, if you're wearing a cummerbund, then you got a whole different set of problems, right?
Yeah. So you just want to have that easy access. Plus, it works really good for the helicopter, too, if you really want to have fun with that. But.
Man, I never even thought of that.
Just a party trick in the air. This is what I miss out on as being a girl. Damn vagina!
Usually, I just go full raw when I'm helicoptering, but I guess...
Well, yeah.
Like, I find that maybe the gitch would limit your SPMs, your spins per minute.
For sure.
If you want to really get that going.
Well, yeah, it depends. Like I said, it depends on the speed you want to rotate, you know. It's all good.
Well, if you want to fully freebird it or not, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe you're just a little shy. Maybe the boys hang a little too low, you know.
Yeah. So this is protecting that. You can still do the
helicopter. It's a modest it's a modesty thing, right? It's a modest helicopter.
Oh, my God.
There were some... other theories, some interesting theories that I think deserve to be heard.
When you're outside, like I work outside all year round, so when you got long johns on, boxers, coveralls, you have to.
You're
going to have to thread.
Come to think of it, yeah, when it used to be really cold and I would wear one-piece long johns to work, then it was much easier to just pull it through than it was to undress yourself.
Yeah, because I mean, when it's really cold, if you got that wind chill.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier.
You'll start like going inside, you're hiding inside, you're like, no, here, stay warm. Okay, good.
So what you're telling me is that really it's for the working man. It should be called the working man's window.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that makes perfect sense. Thank you for that.
So like the whole flap thing, I don't think it's meant to be to see through. I think it's to have more fabric for unexpected growth.
Oh.
So you can like layer the fabric over and then they can move independently for, you know, awkward bus rides and
or even
things like that.
So you could like tuck it in there?
Not to tuck it in, just like so it's not like rushing.
Right.
Yeah, so, it's just reinforcements.
Why is there a hole then though? Because like, you could just layer up the fabric like that and make it thicker without needing a hole.
Yeah, that's true.
But then you need to like pleat it or something. Like there's a hole because you need both pieces to move independently and flock.
Oh, so it's a function and movement thing is what you're saying.
Okay.
That's what I always thought it was.
Right. And I mean, if you think about the purpose of underwear to separate your genitals from your pants, then doubling up the layer right there makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay. Thank you for this.
Are you an engineer?
I actually am.
Are you actually?
I took engineering. I'm a crane inspector, but I work with engineers. But yeah, so I have an engineering background. Absolutely.
I was like, this is the way that an engineer would think,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, you are one of those people who we need on our crew at all times for times like this when we need to know what the hole in underpants is for, okay? So.
BHS in 20 minutes or less podcast.
I thought about spinning the wheel of serious conversation on the show today. There are a few news items that are, I think, really important that maybe deserve to have been touched on in this program. There's the whole thing, that scandal with Bill Morneau and how his dad sold all these shares in their company just before he announced new taxes that would make those shares drop. A little suspicious. There's Trump retweeting this right-wing group from the UK. He's like, I think you could call them anti-Muslim tweets. I don't know what else you would call them. And then Greg Zahn, Blue Jays analyst from Sportsnet, fired for inappropriate behavior. Zahn Cherry, as I call him, with his outrageous suits, thinks he's the Don Cherry of baseball. But I didn't really know what to say about those things that hasn't already been said a million times. It's bad that the president is retweeting discriminatory messages against a certain group. It's also bad to sexually harass your coworkers, Greg Zahn, and it's bad to make laws that you're going to profit from when you're a lawmaker. So instead, I talked about this, went in a bit of a different direction.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
Have you seen the show The Good Doctor that's on TV right now? My wife likes watching this one. And it stars Freddie Highmore, the guy from Bates Motel who played Norman Bates. And he is a young doctor at a hospital with autism. And the doctor has autism, not the hospital. He, should have thought about how I worded that. And he's brilliant, but obviously he has some challenges due to his autism at this job. And it's a really good show if you haven't checked it out yet. But when I was watching this, because my wife loves it, I was wondering if this is something that is going to be a thing of the past one day, where you see actors without disabilities playing roles where the character does have a disability. And it's a fairly common thing that happens in movies. You can think of some very famous roles, very famous actors who have played a character with a disability, like Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man, Leonardo DiCaprio in Gilbert Grape. I think that's actually kind of one of his first big roles, wasn't it? Sean Penn in I Am Sam. Even Tom Hanks as Forrest Gump. And I'm wondering if in the future you're going to see backlash from actors without disabilities playing characters with disabilities, almost in the same way as we see backlash now if there is an actor playing a character outside of their own race. It happened just recently with the Hellboy reboot. Ed Skrein is his name, was cast to play this character who's half Japanese in the comics, and there was so much backlash online that they had to remove him from the role, or I think he even stepped down himself. And they cast a Japanese-American actor in the role instead. A lesser-known Japanese-American actor, but I guess obviously somebody who would more accurately able to portray that character. And I wonder, because I understand why people are upset about that, and I understand why there is that backlash. But I think, you know, the studio also, if there was a Japanese-American actor who was as noteworthy as Ed Skrein, would probably cast him in that role instead, right? I think it all comes down to money for these studios. And I know that's probably the argument that people would make with my example about actors without disabilities. They would say, why don't you just find a disabled actor and build them up to the level of these other stars, right? And I think that's a nice thought, but when you cast Tom Hanks as Forrest Gump, you know that people are going to come to the show to see Tom Hanks, right? And it's going to be a long time, I think, before you can build an actor up to that level, to that Tom Hanks level. It would be nice, though, wouldn't it? The best example I can think of that is that Johnny Knoxville movie, The Ringer. Do you remember that movie where he infiltrates the Special Olympics? And aside from Johnny Knoxville, all of the supporting cast around him are actors with Down syndrome. And they were excellent. They were so funny. They were so good. And there's no way you could have made that movie having actors without disabilities playing those roles. So maybe that Johnny Knoxville movie, if you can believe this, kind of set the tone for the future. As ridiculous as the concept of that movie was, maybe it was incredibly progressive and we just didn't really realize.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
It's a test for the serious music nerds. Can you identify the alternative song from the drums alone? Very difficult to do with no melody, no vocals, no lyrics. I call it poorly recorded drum tracks because I do record the drums myself in my basement. Very, very poorly. I'll give you one more listen to today's. X92.9, does that drum part sound familiar to you?
Yeah, I think it's Blink 182, All the Small Things.
Okay, you got the right band, wrong song.
Oh, damn it.
You're the first person to guess Blink, so you're on the right track.
Blink,
take one more stab at it. Name another Blink song.
Adam's Song?
Yes, there it is. Woo-hoo! What's your name?
Oliver.
Well, I got $100 to Brewer's Apprentice for you, Oliver.
Oh. BNS in 20 minutes or less.
This is the most important part of the entire week on this program. It's the Friday morning pizza chat.
If there's hunger pains in the neighborhood, who you gonna call? Dollar's Pizza! If you're feeling weird and you need some food, who you gonna call? Dollar's Pizza!
Today on the pizza chat, about 6 months ago. No, I'm actually not going to tell you the ghost pizza story today. I will spare you that. Has pizza jumped the shark? That's my question for you. Has pizza become too popular? You know, I love pizza, but there's all this pizza merchandise and there's so much talk about pizza now that I almost feel kind of self-conscious sometimes talking about my love of pizza because it's really cliche. Everybody loves pizza. Everybody knows that. So if pizza is done, if pizza has had its time in the spotlight, what's next? What is going to be the next pizza? What's the food that could usurp pizza as, like, the food? Your first thought might be tacos. But I think tacos has missed its opportunity. Tacos are already really, really popular, like right behind pizza. Tacos has its own emoji. So I would like to nominate a sleeper. I have a sleeper pick for this. The Donair. Now, there's a few reasons why I think the Donair would be so good. First of all, while the Donair is originally from Turkey, when I think of a Donair, the first nationality that comes to mind is Lebanon, the Lebanese people. And for a country of only 6 million people, the Lebanese have done very well everywhere they have gone. The Lebanese diaspora is quite successful. So if they're the ones driving the Donair and the promotion of the Donair, I think the Donair has a real opportunity to become the new pizza.
Hey, I just want to tell you that I think we would be friends. Because when you said about the pizza thing,
yes,
my initial thought was Donair as well.
Really? You went right to Donair? You skipped over taco?
Taco didn't even cross my mind. It was straight to Donair, because, yeah, Donairs are pretty awesome.
Well, I think...
Depends on where you go.
Oh, it depends on where you go, you said?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Absolutely. Well, I live in Airdrie, so there's a couple Donair shops in Airdrie, and I've tried all of them. And there's only one that I will drive across the city, our tiny city, to go to.
I once got a message from somebody on the air, and it was one of the funniest things that a listener's ever said to me. And they said, if you walk into a Donair shop and they don't have a Scarface poster on the wall, walk right back out. Those people don't care about Donairs at all.
That's amazing. This place, however, does not have that, but still amazing.
I like your Donair idea. I do, but pizza will never go away, man. Pizza has always been popular. People have always loved pizza. Now we just know about it more because of social media. You know, people just share their love of pizza. The pizza is convenient. It can feed a lot of people. You're never going to hear somebody say, hey, come help me move. I'll get some Donairs going. You know, it just doesn't happen, you know, and it's easy to eat, it's enjoyable, you can get so many different flavors. It's just, pizza is a food.
You make some strong points. You're quite an ambassador for pizza, and I don't think I can refute any of them.
That's good. That's good. I thought about it for a while, and I was like, no, like, I like Donair, don't get me wrong, but, you know, pizza you can eat with one hand while doing something else, too.
Yeah.
Having a beer with the other or whatever it is, but
the Donair requires your attention, doesn't it?
It does, and then it's not food that you can share. It's kind of,
yeah,
this is my Donair. Get away from it.
Yeah, have a bite out of my Donair. No, that's right.
It doesn't happen. Well, you're talking about what the next pizza is.
Yes,
it's got to be ramen noodles for sure.
Now, is that a commentary on the economy?
No, I think there's this really good ramen now. You go to like Shiki Menya, it's lined up out the door at like 10:30.
Now, the guy I just got off the phone with made some interesting points. He said part of the reason the pizza is so big is its convenience factor. You can share it. You can eat it with one hand. It's quick. It's easy. Does ramen check all of those boxes?
Unfortunately, no, it doesn't check any of those boxes. It's messy. And if you're sharing it, I don't know, maybe you really are poor. But I think, you know, there's things like sweet potato fries that made a comeback a few years ago.
Right.
And I don't know, so maybe there's a point to the shareable kind of thing.
I guess the big difference would be that ramen can, depending on how it's prepared, can be quite healthy for you, right?
That's true, yes.
Pizza is also a little more difficult.
I think like maybe with Popeyes in Calgary, like popcorn chicken will be the next big thing, or popcorn shrimp.
You got me on board for that. Popcorn chicken is the bomb.
For sure. It's quite good here, yeah.
What's your name?
Trevor
from Team Ramen. Hashtag Team Ramen.
Yes, nice. It's trending. Soon. Coming soon, yeah.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.